every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, here's the thought, is that to have victory in our thought lives. And that's what it's saying here. Every thought into the obedience of Jesus Christ, not allowing anything to come up against the knowledge you have of God, that is something that is extreme. Most people say there's no way you can have that type of victory. There's no way that you can have those type, have that much control in your thought life. But the Bible's teaching us, and the things we've learned, is that it is a created mind, that God has created it, and as God has created, He can help us change our thoughts. And it's important because of the fact that what we think about and what's in our heart is what we will actually become. And we've learned a lot about it. The last 2 weeks we've been spending time about not having a complacent mind, and the idea that you think you know it all, that you do not have to learn anything more. And that's important to understand, is that we have a lot to learn. But last week we also talked about not only just being complacent, we also learned about other things we should close our mind to, and that's being careless with our mind. How the Word of God, when we're read or when we hear it preached or when we heard it taught, the things that we've learned, how we should meditate on it, how we should consume it. And we learned the importance of not abusing the scripture we've been given. We've been given so much to live by. I had one person say, preacher say, if you want to have real revival, just do the things you know you ought to do. And he says, you're going to have revival in your life. And do the things that you know that you ought to do, and you're going to have revival. I mean, it means being the witness you know you're supposed to. It means living the way you're supposed to. All those different things. The things you've committed to God before in the past. If you just do those things, you could really, truly have revival in your life. Now, we become careless with the knowledge we have. Many times we listen to it, we see whether or not it entertains us, it goes through one ear and goes right out the other, and don't apply anything. That's not why we come to church. We come to church to hear and to learn. We don't read our Bibles just to check something off. We come to hear and learn of the Word of God. We read the Word of God to let it apply to our lives. Just reading these words is not going to change us. It's when we take the Word of God and apply it. Don't be careless about it. But if you allow yourself to become complacent or become careless, the truth is you're going to have a contaminated mind. So this morning's lesson is the contaminated mind, or a contaminated mind. See here in 1 Timothy 4:16 it says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. A complacent mind and a careless mind will always lead to a contaminated mind. Therefore, it says, take heed. Keep the brain door closed to the wrong influences. There's a lot of influences out there, and our minds, to be honest with you, if we could see what was up on other people's minds, we would be amazed. We would be amazed. You wouldn't want to hear or listen to anybody after, if you knew sometimes what they thought. It's because we've allowed things to come into our minds over the years. Even if we get right with God, and even if we get saved, and we stop the drinking, and we stop looking at those bad things, and we stop being angry, you know, many times we still have those thoughts. They have been placed in our minds, and it's like you're walking through a gallery, and you see all these different pictures that are up there on the walls, and you can't get rid of them. You can't erase them. Now, you can control whether or not you think about them. If you have been a person that had maybe cursed in your life, or cursed, used to curse, like they said, like a sailor, that, you know what? You're not going to lose sometimes those thoughts coming to your mind. You can ask the Lord to help you about them. You don't have to think on them, and you do not have to say them. But you know what? Those things sometimes will come. Our minds have been contaminated with all the garbage that's out there. And we need to realize that this is... we need to keep our brain door closed. I'm sorry to make it so simple, but it's just the idea. We need to shut the brain door to certain things. First thing I want you to see is a closed brain door will keep your vessels clean. A closed brain door will keep your vessel clean. Now, the problem is our brains have gotten dirty. We've been around the world so much. We've seen so much on TV. We've heard so much in the music. We've seen so much in relationships, and maybe just by walking out to the store today. I tell you, you go to the malls today, and if you're a guy, you're trying to keep yourself, you're trying to keep your mind pure and clean. You can't be looking at what the ladies are wearing today, because they're not just it's just not dressed right. Your mind comes contaminated if you're sitting there and you're looking around, and it's a sad state of affairs. You cannot watch any TV, or you cannot watch anything inappropriate on TV, or not listen to anything appropriate, but just going out into society, you have a chance to see things that can cause bad thoughts or wrong type of thoughts. And we got to remember to close our brain door. We'll keep your vessel clean. That's why Paul begins to tell Timothy first, take heed unto thyself. See, God commands us to take the water of life to this world. The water, however, needs to flow through a clean conduit or a clean vessel. Well, you got to understand, we cannot separate the message from the messenger. I love the example of Lot. It's a sad, sad story. But remember when Lot goes to his son-in-laws and says, we need to leave. God's going to destroy this place tomorrow. And what does it say? The son-in-laws laughed at him. He didn't laugh at him about the message. He laughed at him because of who was saying it. It's like the idea Lot had never told his son-in-laws about God, had never told his son-in-laws about the one true God and all the things that this one true God had did for Abraham, had done throughout, even in Egypt, and all those other things. He doesn't teach him that. But one night he comes banging on the door. He has lived amongst homosexuality. He has never denounced it. He comes knocking on the door and says, God is going to destroy this place. They laugh at him because the vessel was dirty. It's the idea here that if you really, truly want to bring the water of life to someone else, we have to make sure that we are clean. The right content and the right conduit are equally important. We have the Word of God. There's nothing wrong with the Word of God. There's nothing wrong with God's Word. It has changed lives forever. There's nothing wrong with the truth that is in God's Word as given to us. The water of life is exactly what every person needs. But the problem is, God has chosen that it flow through us. You say, why is that a problem? Because so many of us are dirty. And because that we're dirty, we cannot take the Word of God because our minds have become contaminated and we become dirty. We can't take the Word of God like we should to others. I think about the illustration of drinking from a water hose. Remember when you were a kid and you maybe drank through a water hose? And, you know, maybe even nowadays you get thirsty and you're out working long and hard. You know, sometimes with certain water hoses, you get up there and it just smells when it's going through there. It's kind of nasty. Now, there's nothing wrong with the water. You go inside, you turn the faucet on. You know what? It's the exact same. Well, there is something wrong with Elizabeth City's water. But in most places, it's the same water that we use to drink in our houses. And the faucet comes through it just fine. And we don't mind taking something from the tap water. But when you go turn the hose on and it comes out the hose, it's the exact same water. But guess what? It's nasty. Why is that? It's because it was what's coming through and what it's coming from. It's so important that our minds not be contaminated because we have such an important job. What God's called us to do, bring the water of life, to bring the gospel to people, and to share to others what God has told us to do. And it is so important that we have to be clean. You say, Pastor, this is about our thought lives. That's the whole point is that it begins with our thoughts. When we have the right thought life, then we're going to have the right actions. If we can learn to clean up our minds, our lives will be cleaned up. But it begins with this, and here's the thought. There's no way. We can go out and we can pass out all the tracts we want. Nobody wants to hear a preacher that goes out and lives like the world all week long and, you know, curses and drinks and has affairs and then gets up on Sunday and preaches. Nobody wants to hear that because it's a dirty vessel. That's not what the truth of the Word of God is about. And I'm not saying I'm perfect. You know that I tell you I'm open and honest with you. I've never ever said I was perfect. I even am honest with you saying that, you know, our thought life is something we all struggle with, even including me. And we need to be careful. But that's why we need to say, having these wrong thoughts or having a mind that is dirty is not acceptable. It is not acceptable because God has to clean up our minds if we want to be a vessel to be used by God. And that's why Paul says here, take heed unto thyself. Before you get to the doctrine, before you get to help saving others and saving yourself, you need to take heed to yourself and make sure that you're living right before you ever go out to tell somebody else about the Word of God. Before you ever go out and do something. And this is where Lot had the trouble with, was the problem that he had was he never took care of himself. And because of that, he lost his daughters that was inside Sodom and Gomorrah. It's because you cannot separate the message from the messenger. God uses us to bring the message of the truth of the Word of God. And this is convicting. You say it's convicting to you. It's really convicting to me because I get the privilege of standing before people and preach the Word of God. But I have just as much of a responsibility as you have to tell others about Jesus Christ. I know I'm the preacher. I have more time. My responsibility is greater. I will answer and accountable to more. But God didn't just give it to the preachers to be able to tell other people about Jesus Christ. He gave it to all of us. And we need to get this, that a closed brain door will keep your vessel clean. We need to have our minds clean. There is no other option. You say, Pastor, it's hard work. It's tough. It is hard work to bring into captivity, like we talked about, bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Jesus Christ. But he has commanded us, and he has told us in his word that this is possible. So next thing is, are you the type of vessel God would use? Are you the type of vessel God would use? Now, you come to this spot, and you say, well, vessels, you know, what are you talking about? Well, we all know what a vessel is. It's something that carries things. And God says here in 2 Timothy 2, verses 19 through 21, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So here it is. As a person says they're a Christian, that they're a believer, let him depart from iniquity. That doesn't mean play around with it. Doesn't mean, you know, you stay as close to it as you can. If you're departing something, you're actually leaving. When you're in an airport and you depart from a city, you know what? You're not going to hang around that city. You're departing from it. You're going somewhere else. It says, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Here's the idea here. If you want to be a vessel unto honor, a vessel that God can use, what does the Bible tell you here? It says, purge himself from these things. Purge yourself from things that are going to contaminate you, and purge yourself from the things that are going to cause you to not want to do, not be able to be used by God. I don't know how many of you have dogs in your house. I have two little dogs in my house. You know what? They each have their own dog dish. You know, and they each have, now they both use each other's dog dishes, but they each have their own dog dish. And you know what? And they were from, we bought them from Walmart. We even bought the ones that had the two compartments, even got different colored ones, things like that. But I've never once, no matter how nice the dog dish looks, never once gotten down on my hands and knees and drank water out of the dog dish. I don't know if you have. If you have, keep that to yourself, please, because that might. But I have never once used that vessel because that vessel was not made for me. That vessel was made for the animal. It was in a sense, a dishonorable vessel. Doesn't matter how pretty it is. Doesn't matter how much it costs. Doesn't matter where it came from. I'm not going to use that dog dish vessel to be able to drink my water and eat my food out of. Why is that? Because it's dirty. And it's contaminated. And it's the same thing with ours and the truth of the Word of God. The dog's vessel, this is a vessel, but it's a dishonorable one, and no one in their right mind will even take clean water from such a source. No one wants truth coming from an error-filled life either. No one wants to have truth where they turn around and say one thing, but they live a different thing. Keeping our thoughts right will keep our vessel clean. And that's why it's such a key and so important. There's so much hypocrisy in the day and time that we live in that it turns people away from the Word of God and turns people away from the gospel. And we need to present the gospel in a way that would be appealing to people. Not in the fact that we change it or we water it down. They didn't have to do that for centuries. They didn't have to do that in the first century church. They didn't have to do that in the day and time that we live in. The great revivals that happened didn't happen because they changed the truth. It came and happened because people became clean vessels. So the first thing is, a closed brain door will keep your vessel clean. And we need to be careful that we do not live an error-filled life. Because no one wants to get their truth from there. Nobody does. And you say, well, I keep on talking to my husband, I keep on talking to my wife, I keep on preaching to my kids, and I keep on, I think it's good to be a witness, I think it's good to be, but they can't see you living a dirty, contaminated life, and then you start talking to them about the Bible, they're going to laugh at you. Now, they might not do it in front of your face, like Lot's kids did, but they're going to laugh at you behind closed doors. Never have any interest in hearing what you said, because they've never seen the truth in your own life. So make sure, do your best to have a closed brain door because it keeps your vessel clean. Next thing is a closed brain door. Once again, I know that seems kind of simple, maybe even silly, but it's what we're allowing into our brains will keep your values centered. will keep your value centered. It says, take heed. The next phrase that we see in 1 Timothy 4:16, what is he supposed to take heed unto? First of all, unto himself. Secondly, it says, unto the doctrine. Unto the doctrine. Interesting, Paul addresses the conduit first, or the vessel, or the source where the truth is going to be flow from. But now he stresses the content. It's not only sin that can ruin our thinking, but also false teachings that can constantly swirl around us. By keeping your mind in the Word of God, you'll be able to ferret out those things that are contrary to the truth. It's amazing what some people actually believe. That is contrary to what the Word of God says. Maybe they've heard it for years. Maybe they saw it and they seen it. I had one person come up to me, and they were very sincere. And they asked why I, you know, well, we talk about so much about salvation. We talk so much about getting saved and the necessity to get saved, because it's that alas, you never know how long you're going to live. You never know if tomorrow you're going to die, all those different things. And she came and told me, she says, I believe that God comes to you at the last second when you're getting ready to die and asks you whether or not you want to choose me or him. He comes to every person that way. And I looked at the person and said, I don't see that anywhere in the Bible. She says, well, that's what I think. I says, if it's not in the Bible, I can't believe it. I says, there's lots of things I think that I know are contrary and that is not truth. And just because it comes up in my mind doesn't make it truth. And our heart is deceitful. It's desperately wicked. It's, the devil is going to whisper those type of things in your mind, inside your ear, so that way you will not accept the truth of the Word of God. But the Bible says the thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. And we need to remember that we must take heed unto ourselves as clean. But what is the doctrine that we are passing along? What is the words that we are passing along? Even though we may be a clean vessel, we need to be careful that we are giving the Word of God to others, because it's the Word of God that changes lives. It's not us that changes lives. It's God's power through us. We need the Word of God. Now be careful, because the Bible teaches us that our hearts are deceitful. They say that the Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9 that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So we need to be careful, because we know that our minds can not be trusted. And we can't trust ourselves to think right. We must saturate ourselves with the truth that God has given us. We must continue to guess. Pour ourselves into the Word of God, not be careless with the information that God's given us. And this verse here says, but strong meat, and this is referring to the strong meat of the Word of God that can give to us the deep things, belonging to them that are full age. Now, you don't have to wait till you're 100 to get there. You can become mature. I've met some people that are so much more mature in their ages of 20s and 30s and 40s than sometimes someone who's in their 80s or 90s that maybe got saved, or other people who have focused in the Word of God and have studied the Word of God. And there is wisdom you can learn from someone who is older, but this maturity is referring to spiritually. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised. Now look at this. Has their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. They have become so saturated with the Word of God. They receive the full meat of the Word of God. They become to the mature. Does that mean they can't learn? No, we can always learn. But they've got to the point where they can discern what is right and discern what is wrong. People say, there are so many gray areas out there. I don't know whether this is right or this is wrong. As you study the Word of God and you learn to live the Word of God and you focus on the Word of God, and you take out all those other things that are in our lives, those other things that are trying to contaminate our minds, those foolish things that are talked about at the beginning of the chapter. I know we didn't read at the beginning of the chapter. It talks about the doctrines of the devils and the seducing spirits, all those different things. If we are going to be able to discern what is right and what is wrong. I don't know about you, but there's sometimes when I go and I hear someone talk about the Bible, and it's like the Holy Spirit of God inside of me says, man, that's just not what the Word of God teaches. And something, there's a spirit inside of us, the Holy Spirit, that can lead and direct us. But if we are not having the right mind and our mind's been contaminated by the things of this world, you know what? We're not going to have those antlers up, or those pointers up saying, antennas up saying, oh, that's wrong, that's not right. Oh, that's wrong, that's not right. This is what I believe, this is what I think, and I can take you in the Bible and say, this is why I believe what I believe. It's also, God gave it to us for this reason. Look what it says in 2 Peter 1:4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. We like that part. We all like to talk about the promises, what we're going to get. that by these promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. That means becoming like Christ, being partakers, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We're escaping the corruption. You know, God doesn't give us some type of license to sin and live whatever way we want. It's saying that if we have these promises and partake of the divine natures, we're escaping the corruption that is in this world. And we need to learn not to live through the lusts of this world, not to let our minds become contaminated with the things of this world, but instead let our minds be clean so we can be vessels that God can use. When God's word is valuable, your values will be right. When God's word is valuable, you'll be able to discern what is good and what is evil. And sometimes people bring things to me and say, here, can I get, what is wrong with this? And I'll tell them, I'll give them principles from the word of God. I'll give them things from the word of God. And I says, now, discernment is something that you learn and it grows over the years as you get closer to God and as you understand more of the Bible. You have to make this decision for yourself. But this is why I choose not to do this. And I'll tell them this is the reasons. But sometimes it comes down to just believing what the Holy Spirit of God is saying to us from certain principles. But if we make the Word of God valuable to us, our values will be right. Now, there's a psalm in the Psalms 119, and I know that David here talks, he kind of intertwines these two concepts. You know, God's word being valuable and being right. It is intertwined in Psalms 119, verses 97, all the way through 106. It says, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. So he has a love for God's word, and we learned that we should not be careless with his word. We should meditate on the word of God. That means if we're not thinking about the word of God throughout the day, there's something wrong. We're not doing exactly, it's not so much important to us. These are the things that we can focus on. I know you have work schedules. I know you have responsibilities. I know you have things in your mind that are lined up that your mind cannot always be on it. But the way you view things, it can kind of filter through the word of God. It says, thou, through thy commandments, have made me wiser than mine enemies. Now here's David saying, look, because I love the law and because I love the meditation, you've made me wiser than my enemies. Were they ever with me? I have more understanding than all my teachers. Now, once again, this is the student. When I was in seventh grade, I had this math teacher, Miss Blair. I really thought I was smarter in math than she was. I really thought I could go up there and I could teach her something because she just did not have, in my mind, back as an immature punk little kid, you know, 12 years old, thinking I was really smart. I really thought I was smarter than my teachers, at least that one. But here David's saying, look, I have more understanding than my teachers. He says, I've surpassed those who have taught me the word of God. Why is that? Because he loves the law. That's what he meditates on. And that's where we're going to surpass those even that teach us. I tell people all the time, and I pray that someday my sons just blow right past me in my spiritual life. I mean, I want to become everything God wants me to be, but I want them to even love God in a greater... I'm not going to be disappointed or upset if someday they know more about the Bible than I do. I wouldn't be more upset and disappointed than you know, because they've started maybe in their journey a little bit earlier and they stay focused and they have some training there. I'd love to see them become used by God in great ways, whether it's in a full-time ministry or whatever God wants them to be. But it's the idea here that how would that happen? That's going to happen when we love his law. And that's going to happen when we meditate on his law. That's when we even become smarter than those that taught us previously. For thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients. Once again, his testimonies, God's word, it's a meditation. Because of that, he understands more than those that are older. Because I keep thy precepts, I have refrained my feet from the evil way. It begins talking about keeping his vessel clean, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. And you see all these things. It's intertwined together. And he comes to the point, he says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. He has interwoven both these things together. He's made God's word valuable, and because he's made God's word valuable, he knows what is right. His values are right because he's made God's word valuable. He's made his word valuable up here, so because of that, he hates the way of those things that are a false way. He despises those things. He loves the taste of the word of God. He loves what it does for it. It gives him understanding. But only time we can ever get to hear is when we begin to say, you know what? I need to read God's word more. I need to study God's word more. I need to memorize God's word. I need to meditate in God's word. So he begins by saying the closed door, a closed brain door will keep the vessel clean. A closed brain door will keep your values centered. The last but not least, a closed brain door will keep your voice clear. Will keep your voice clear. Now, this is the last part of the phrase. Once again, it begins with this. It begins with having the being clean and being used of God. Secondly, is having the right doctrine. And now it comes to the spot, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. That's good, isn't it? I mean, we want to do what's right because we want God to use us. And he's talking about saving himself from a life of sin and having a brain that's not contaminated with the things of this world. But you like this next phrase, and them that hear thee. See, when you're thinking purely, you'll never have to worry about speaking dirty. When you're thinking purely, you'll never have to worry about speaking dirty. Sometimes people, when I come to their house, and usually most people are very, very respectful of me. But sometimes when people come, they find out I'm a preacher, they'll try their best to change the way they normally talk. Every once in a while, a curse word will slip out and they'll say, I'm sorry about that. I said, I appreciate, understanding that that's not language I use. But you know what's wrong? Isn't the fact that they just slipped up? No, what's wrong is their thoughts and their minds is that they talk like that all the other times when, someone isn't around. I know they don't just do it for me. I'm sure they do it in front of their mothers, maybe in front of their wives or husbands. I get all that. But if you're worried about talking dirty, you need to start trying to think purely. And once again, the thoughts might come into your mind. And we learned that thoughts even came into the mind of Christ is when we don't act upon those. Look what it says in Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 through 35. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. What a key here is, what we become is what we've been thinking like. Things just do not happen just like that. Our mind has been working at it for a long time. And we need to be careful that we're putting good in. We've heard that old computer expression, I think it's trash in, trash out, is whatever you put into your mind is what's going to come out. You know what it said of Jesus? It says, never man spake like this man. Why did they say that? It's because his message was completely different. It was one with authority. They were so used to listening to these religious leaders, these scribes, these Pharisees, that were wicked in their thoughts and wicked in their theology, and that's who was teaching them. Jesus comes on the scene and begins to speak unlike anyone else that ever spoke. It's because he was God, but he was clean from the contamination of the world, and because he didn't have the sin on those things on the mind, he could think clearly. All of us have said things that we regret. All of us have said things in frustration. And then we turn around and say, why in the world did I say that? But before we stop our tongue, we must stop our thoughts. It works the other way too. When we are thinking right, the right words will come out when we need them. Before we're ever going to change what we're saying, we have to change what's up here and what's in our heart. And this is the idea of what's on your mind. What is you've been thinking about? See, you say, Pastor, there's no way I can have victory over this. This is something that's constantly there. The Bible says that you can bring into captivity every thought into the obedience of Jesus Christ. You can cast down the imaginations and all those high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. The creator of the brain, the maker of you, has said that you can have victory in this. And because of that, we must do our best and allow God to take care of the rest. To stop our tongues, we must stop our thoughts. We must stop thinking on things that we should not be thinking on because sooner or later they will come out. I don't know about you, it amazes me sometimes that God helps us and enables us. You ever been witnessing and you talk to someone and later you're amazed by how God used a certain verse that you memorized many years earlier. And God just brings that to your mind and says, here you go. This is what I want you to say. And he places it. God allowed you to speak what you had stored in your mind. And I tell you, as a preacher, I can't depend on my notes. I depend on the Lord because I need him to be able to say the things that he wants to say through me. And it's so important that as you have the right mind, you have the right thoughts, you're not going to have to worry about your speech. Now, I got to be careful because I'm a little quick-witted. Sometimes I get myself in trouble by being a little smart-aleck, and I do my best not to. Maybe a few of you maybe have seen that before, and usually I apologize about that. But that's something that I do my best not to do, because that's something I used to do a whole big bunch in the past. Now, I never cursed. At least I never took the Lord's name in vain. I never had a problem with dealing with those things. But, you know, what's going to change that habit is me getting closer to God, me understanding more of the Word of God, me learning the Word of God and understanding, like we heard Spurgeon say last week, you're going to start sounding like the Bible. I don't think there's anything wrong with saying thee or thou. I don't think there's anything wrong with saying the Scriptures and the words of God. It's because the Word of God becomes so important to us. Keeping your brain door closed so you can prevent a complacent mind, a careless mind, and a contaminated mind. In the verse, Paul is specific here. He tells him, take heed unto thyself. He's saying, close that mind. Be careful. Be on. Take with all diligence. Keep your heart with all diligence. Take heed unto thyself. Then he says, what you're supposed to take heed unto yourself, after you take heed unto yourself, you take heed unto the doctrine. And then you continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. You know, with 10,000 different thoughts going around in our brain waves every day, it's very, very easy to slip in the wrong one. We need to be careful. We need to close the brain door to the things that are going to lead us down the wrong way. We just don't need to listen to it. Let's look again in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1. It says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Once again, these are believers. They have the faith of the God. And why are they departing from it? Why are they not believing the things the Word of God says and the things they've learned? It's because they've giving heed to the seducing spirits and doctrines of the devils. The spirits of today and the doctrines of the devils are trying to convince us that contrary things to the Word of God, things that are exalting itself up against the knowledge of God. Then what happens? They're speaking lies and hypocrisies, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now, these are important to understand. This is what's going to happen when we begin to allow the things of this world to set our mind to thinking. But when we let the Word of God change our mind thinking, believe me, we're not going to have that problem. Instead, we're going to have the power of the Word of God behind us. I know that some of you had to step out for ministries, and then we're going to close in a word of prayer here. Be careful how much we allow into our brain. Like I said, trash in, trash out. We can't continue to be watching and spending all our time on things that are of worthless content and then expect to be spiritually minded people. It's got to change some way or another, and it begins with putting a bright priority on the Word of God. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Lord, I'm thankful for the people that are here. Lord, I'm thankful for the opportunity we have. Lord, what a wonderful privilege when we talk about saving ourselves and saving them that hear us. Lord, help us to take heed unto ourselves. Help us to understand the truths of the Word of God. Help us to see it. Help us to relish the Word of God. Help us to take it in. Help us to long for it. Help us to consume it. Help us to meditate it. Lord, David, man after God's own heart, he loved your Word. He studied it. He meditated. Help us to have or open our minds to that and close our minds to the things that will contaminate our minds to the Word of God. Lord, I pray you speak to people's hearts.